Good morning. The scripture reading comes from Joshua chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Joshua chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years, and there remains yet very much land to possess. This is the land that yet remains, all the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Geshurites, from the Shihor, which is east of Egypt, northward to the boundary of the Ekron. It is counted as Canaanite. There are five rulers of the Philistines, those of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron, and those of the Avim. In the south, all the land of the Canaanites, and the Mira that belongs to the Sidonians, to the Apec, to the boundary of the Amorites, and the land of the Gebalites, and all Lebanon toward the sunrise, from Baal-Gad below Mount Hermon to Lebo Hamath, all the inhabitants of the hill country, from Lebanon to Mizpah-Maim, even all the Sidonians. I myself will drive them out from before the people of Israel. Only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now therefore, divide this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh." This is the word of the Lord.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in April 1968. By the time of his death, the United States had made significant progress on social and racial concerns. And yet, even at his death in 1968, all those concerned would say that there was still yet work to be done. In fact, if you had asked Dr. King if he believed that a black man could be elected president of the United States in his lifetime, he would have thought you out of your mind. Dr. King would have never dreamed of a black president, and if he had, it would have been only a dream. In 2008, when Barack Obama was elected president of these United States, Dr. King would have been 80 years old. 80 years old. Within one generation, Dr. King would have seen what seemed at the time impossible. When the children of Israel left Egypt as slaves and marched out of their captivity, they had a dream. It was a dream of their own land. It was a dream of their own place to worship, to live, and to work. It was a dream deeply rooted in the promises to their fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. It was a dream that was derailed by 400 years of slavery in Egypt. But it was still a dream. And it was a dream revived under the leadership of Moses. And it was a dream realized under the leadership of Joshua. Now, I don't want to draw this analogy out too far. Okay, I don't want none of you going away from here saying that Dr. King was Moses and Barack Obama is Joshua. That is not what Pastor is saying, for the record. But what I do want you to understand this morning is what I believe the Bible illustrates for us over and over again. And that is this, that what one generation believes, the next generation through faith and trust can achieve. Through trusting God and obeying God and following God's will and way for their lives, each generation, beloved, should and can and should be building upon the faith and the obedience of the previous one. Moses led the nation of Israel to the promised land. Joshua led the nation of Israel to possess the promised land. That's important to understand. That's important to understand for your own Christian life, beloved. That it is not simply God wanting his people to get to the promised land, but God wanted his people to possess the promised land. Why is that important? Because, beloved, Jesus didn't come just to save you and me. He came also so that you and I can live saved. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, right? Jesus says, I came that you may have life, but not just any old life. I came that you might have abundant life. The abundant life. He wants us to not be just saved, but he wants you to know the joy of your salvation. Amen. He doesn't just want you to be saved, but he wants you to walk in the fullness of joy. That's why, as we read earlier in Romans chapter 8, that he has saved us and now we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. So in one sense, what God desires for us is the conquering life. The conquering life. And how do we do that? How do we walk in the conquering life? How do we experience this victorious life when defeat seems to be on every hand? How are we to be conquerors when the enemy seems to be always ready? What I want to suggest to you, as we kind of see in our text here, that you and I need to look at our lives in terms of the battles that we fight. Look at your life in terms of the battles that you have fought, that you are fighting, that you will have to fight. I mean, this is what Joshua and the nation of Israel was having to do over and over again. And I think this is what they were having to do even in our text this morning. That once again, they were going to have to look back on some past battles. They were going to have to overcome some present circumstances. And then they were going to keep looking to the Lord for His future grace. Okay, now this is how we live this kind of conquering life. Do remember past battles. Don't forget them. Don't forget them. If you go back in Joshua, just one chapter previous, chapter 12, you go back to chapter 12 in Joshua, and you realize that the conquering life that Joshua and the Israelites are experiencing, are going to experience, is built upon battles and victories already won. Right? It's built upon realizing and remembering that there are battles and there are victories that have already been won. And before Joshua and Israel would engage once again in any present battles, the Bible rehearses for us and for them the battles already won. Look again and see it in chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, the kings that were conquered by Moses. Isn't it interesting that the Bible lists the kings that were conquered by Moses first? Right? This is important. Okay, before we get to the kings conquered by Joshua and the Israelites, listen to the list of kings conquered by Moses. Why is that important? That is important because Joshua and the nation of Israel had to be reminded that God didn't just show up with you, Joshua. God just didn't show up with you. He's been with your people. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, right? This is the promise that God gave Joshua from the very beginning after Moses, his servant, is dead. He says, Joshua, remember, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. God says, I would be with you. By rehearsing these lists of kings that are conquered by Moses, God is reminding Moses, God was with Joshua as He was with Moses. I was with Moses, just as I am with you. In fact, understand that the God that was with Moses is the God that was with Joseph. And the God that was with Joseph is the God that was with Jacob. And the God that was with Jacob is the God that was with Isaac. And the God that was with Isaac is the God that was with Abraham. When God introduced Himself to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6, you know what God called Himself to Moses? He says that He is the God of your father. That's who I am. I am the God of your father. You know what happens sometimes, beloved? This is what happens. And it's kind of a modern malady, you know. And sometimes we talk like God hasn't been here before. Sometimes we act like God just showed up. And He has never dealt with anything like what I'm dealing with. That my life and my circumstances, my issues are news to Him. We act like He just started being God with us. The fact of the matter is, beloved, when I get in a fix, I'm not looking for a new God. I want the God that my grandmother prayed to. I want that God. I want to worship the God that heard my mother praying and answered her prayers and brought her through. I think the song used to say, Bob, the old time religion is good enough for mama. It's good enough for me. Don't forget, God was with Moses and He conquered the kings in Moses' day, Joshua.
And remember the kings that he conquered under Joshua as well. As God led Moses, so he would lead Joshua as well. Moses conquered kings. Joshua conquered kings. Notice how the list of kings begins in Joshua chapter 12 and verse 9, right? King of Jericho, 1. King of Ai, 1. King of Jerusalem, 1. King, 1. King, 1. One by one, the list of kings given, conquered. If you and I will live faithfully and victoriously today, beloved, you must remember how God delivered you yesterday. He delivered you yesterday. And these, beloved, this is the important part. These are not all miraculous victories. Everything was not Jericho. Everything was not Ai. In fact, most victories came through ordinary means. Joshua had to pull a sword. He had to hold up his shield. He had to walk into battle. Oh, beloved, listen to me. Don't get caught up in the Ais and the Jerichos. These are marvelous things, and we should remember them. But remember and realize that most victories in your life are just going to come through the ordinary means of believing and trusting and waiting on the Lord every day. It's going to come through prayer. It's not going to be a grand, miraculous event. The Lord's going to give you victory as you fight the battles, as you trust Him, as you wait on Him. Every now and then there'll be a Jericho. Every now and then there'll be an Ai. But most of the time, you're just going to have to take blood pressure medicine every day. Just going to wait on the Lord and trust Him every moment of every day. Because that's how the vast majority of the victories are won. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Don't get caught up looking for the miraculous when there's evidence of God's grace every day. And don't forget it. Don't forget it. As the psalmist says, Psalm 103, verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Every day, every day, every day, there is evidence of grace in the work of God in your life through ordinary means. And He's bringing you through. And He's giving you victories. One by one, by one, by one. That's why the song says, count your blessings. Count your blessings and name them one by one. One by one. Count your blessings and see what God has done. I dare you. I dare you. I dare you to just sit down and just count your blessings. You'll rise up in victory, beloved. I don't care how you sat down. When you rise up, you will rise up in victory. Ah, do remember past battles. But don't regret present circumstances. Don't regret your present circumstances. You look at chapter 13 and verse 2. Beloved, Joshua was no spring chicken. See what the Bible says? What did it say, Bob? Plainly, Joshua was old and advanced in years. I ain't calling nobody out. I shaved my greatest morning. Some folks didn't. Joshua was old and advanced in years. Probably around 90 years old at this time, beloved. He wasn't a young soldier anymore. He wasn't the young soldier that he used to be. The years were beginning to slow him down. And naturally, like us, Joshua might have wanted to call it quits. Joshua's life hadn't been like Moses. I mean, Moses spent much of his life trying to administrate knuckleheads. Joshua, for most of his life, has been in the battle. He's been with sword and shield in his hand. And age takes its toll on everybody. I mean, people come to me and say, hey, Pastor, you want to play basketball? I say, oh, no. Oh, no. I done seen too many old guys tear up their Achilles. Isn't that right, Brother Marius? I done seen too many old guys blow out knees. No, I play golf. I play golf these days. Basketball is a young man's game. Football is a young man's game. So is war, right? Wrong. Notice what it says in verse 1. Joshua was old and advanced in years, and there remains yet very much land to possess. I know you're old. I know you're tired. I know you're weary from the battle. But there is still land yet, Joshua, to possess. You know what I find, beloved, that the older I get, and I think this is probably true of most of us in here, that the older you get, the more you realize that much of your present battles are battles with ourselves. It's battle with ourselves. It's battles with motivating ourselves. It's battles with getting over ourselves. It's battles with getting over our usefulness. And realizing this, beloved, that you can't control the uncontrollables. You can't control the uncontrollables. Age is an uncontrollable. Did that tickle you, Brother Turner? Age is an uncontrollable. Here's the good news. The uncontrollables in your life are no problem for God. They're not. You can't say I'm blind. Why? God uses blind people. Ask Fanny Crosby. You can't say I'm paralyzed. God uses paralyzed people. Ask Johnny Erickson Tata. You can't say I'm too young. You can't say I have too many children. You can't say you're too anything for God to use. Like anything else, age is not a hindrance to God. Abraham was old. Aaron was old. When God called Moses, he was old. You know what the Bible says about Caleb in chapter 14? In chapter 14 and verse 12, Caleb was 85 years old, and Caleb came to Joshua and said, Joshua, give me the hill country. I'll show these young bucks how to take it. Joshua was old. And the Lord says to Joshua, I know you're old. And yet, there still remains yet very much land. There are still many battles to fight. There is still much to possess. There is still abundant life yet to live. In Psalm 71, verse 18, the psalmist says, "Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come." Age, beloved, doesn't hinder the purposes of God. None of the uncontrollables do. There are still battles to win. There are still battles to win against the world. There are still battles to win against the flesh. There are still battles to win against the devil. And you are never too old to be in battle for the Lord's army. You are never too old to do as Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11 says, and that is to put on the whole armor of God. You are never too old to use the weapon of prayer. You are never too old to use the weapon of praise. And that's why the psalmist says, right? In Psalm 104 and verse 33, "I will sing to the Lord how long? All my life. I will sing praises to my God how long? As long as I live." Don't let the uncontrollables of your present circumstances keep you out of the fight. Don't do it, beloved. Wherever you are, however you are, you can put on the whole armor of God. There are still yet battles to win. There are still yet enemies to fight. There is still grace to trust the Lord for. And that's what you do. You trust Him for future grace. Right now, trust Him for future grace. In verses 6 and 7, we're reminded again that Joshua was old. But there were yet lands to be conquered and nations to drive out. But notice what God says. He says, Joshua, in verse 1, He says, "Joshua, there are yet very much lands to possess. But don't worry." Notice what he says in verse 6. Right? "I myself will drive them out. I myself will drive them out from before the people of Israel." With all the destruction of those cities and kings, 31 kings, listed. 31 kings listed. With all the destruction of those 31 kings, you might have thought that that would be enough. You might have thought that Joshua looked at the list of all his conquering and he said, "You know what, y'all? I'm just going to lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside. I'm going to lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside and study won't no more. I'm 90 years old. I've fought my battles. I'm just going to lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside and study war no more." You know what the problem with that is? The world isn't laying down its sword and shield. The flesh isn't laying down its sword and shield. The devil sure isn't laying down his sword and shield. And as long as you are in this body, and as long as you are breathing this air, there will be battles to fight, beloved. There will be rivers to cross. There will be mountains to climb. And there will be devils to defeat. Joshua already had many victories, but as long as he was alive, God was promising him more. "I know you got victories, Joshua. I got more for you. I got more victories for you." Joshua still had fight in him. And God knows it. Because he knows all his people got fight in them. Because he's with them. Always have fight in us. As long as the church stands, she is going to be in the battle. And I want to suggest to you, beloved, that no matter how dark it may look at any moment, the future is always bright. Because the future is filled with battles and guaranteed victories. Always. Always. That is the nature of future grace. The grace of the Lord God who brought you over that mountain is the grace of the Lord God who's going to carry you over the next one. Joshua understood this, beloved. There's still battles to be won. There are always battles to be won. Always. As the Lord gives you grace to conquer one, get yourself prepared for the next one. That's how it was with Joshua. You realize that the battles didn't end with Joshua, right? No. Joshua handed the battle over to the judges. The judges handed the battle over to the kings. The kings handed the battle over to the prophets. And you know what the prophets did with the battle? They handed it over to Jesus. And Jesus came and entered into the battle. And you know what Jesus did with the battle, beloved? Jesus took the battle to the cross. And the Bible tells us, beloved, that on the cross in Colossians chapter 2 and 15, he put his enemies to open shame. But Jesus didn't stop fighting there. He took the battle from the cross, then he took the battle down into the grave. And you know what he did with the battle in the grave, beloved? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55 tells us that when he rose, he looked back and said, "Death, where is your sting? And grave, where is now your victory?" Ah, beloved, ah, but the battle ain't over. Because the battle that he had on the cross, the battle he took down to the grave, now he has taken that battle to heaven. And the Bible tells us that every day in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, every day, every moment he is fighting for you. He is strengthening your resolve. He is weakening your enemy. He is guaranteeing your victory because he ever lives to make intercession for you. Jesus is fighting for you. That's why you can keep on fighting. That's why you can keep going. That's why you can say like Joshua. When the Lord came to Joshua, and the Lord said, "Joshua, I know the day has been long, and the battles have been many. I know you're getting old, but can you fight on?" And Joshua said, "Lord, I've been fighting the Canaanites a long time, and I ain't tired yet. I've been fighting the Amorites a long time, and I ain't tired yet. Lord, I ain't tired yet. I don't feel no way tired. I've come, Lord, too far from where we started from. You never told us that taking this promised land would be easy. But I don't believe you brought us this far just to leave me. I don't feel no ways tired. Lord, I ain't tired yet. I've been fighting a long time. And I ain't tired yet. I've been doing battle a long time, and I ain't tired yet. I've been praying for a long time, Bob, and I ain't tired yet. Lord, I ain't tired yet. And the Lord hasn't given up on me. And I ain't giving up. And I ain't giving up. That's right, sister. I ain't giving up. As the Lord hasn't given up on me. There are still yet very much lands to possess. And I ain't tired yet. Let's pray.